4-H Foundation is proud to introduce you to Superior Educator Linda Scholl from UN Trout Creek Schools. Linda is above and beyond kind. She is the type of person who always says hi to staff and kids in the hallway with a big smile and always has something positive to say. She is a great teacher and coworker. She recently retired and is already missed very much by students and staff alike. If you know an amazing educator like Linda, go to superioreducators.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Superior Educator.
Once again, good Sunday morning and welcome to Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. We are looking ahead this morning, this being the first weekend in February, to something that's happening the first weekend in March. The annual Copper Dog 150 is a lot closer than we think, and Doug Harrer from the Copper Dog 150 board joins me for the program this morning. We are, of course, brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation, and you can find out more about them at phfgive.org. Doug, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, the Copper Dog 150, I remember when we started this. How many years ago?
This is our 14th year.
This is our 14th year. I remember when they started this. They called me up. They said, we're going to try doing this sled dog race. We have no idea if it will work. Will you come announce it? I don't know a darn thing about sled dog races, and neither did anybody else really in town at that point, with the exception of a few mushers that we have here in the area. And we put it together, and look what it has become. What a significant milestone event this is every year in the winter in the Copper Country.
You know, it is amazing to see where it's come in the 14 years. I, like you, sat at a board table, looking around at everyone, not knowing who anyone was, figuring out how to put on a sled dog race, and I had no clue. My first job, actually, on the Copper Dog, year one, I was the first Calumet hooker.
I doubt you were the first Calumet. I've read about those mining days.
So I was the guy that was down on the ground in between the start gate. And when they're doing the countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you pull the hook that's attached to the sled and the line that goes down the center of the dogs. And you pull that and you hand it to the musher as quickly as you can. And let me tell you what, after all those dogs went through, me and the guy next to me, we were exhausted.
People who have not been up close to the start have no idea, first of all, how strong those dogs are, and secondly, how eager they are.
Yeah. And it's no joke, because that's the reason why you see literally the musher on their break, you know, standing on this claw, digging in, and 8 volunteers holding the dogs, bringing them up to the line, because these dogs just want to go.
Because that first year, I thought, gee, dog sled race. If you were going to hook me up to a sled and say, go run 35 miles through the winter and pull the sled, I would not take kindly to that suggestion.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe this is not a good thing for the dogs. Maybe this is an abusive kind of situation. Do I want to get involved in it? And I did a little research and very quickly found out that this is something dogs love to do. These are trained athletes. They are so eager to get out on that course. And they just yip and yip and yip. But the minute they go out, they're quiet and they run.
Yeah, dead silence. Yeah, it's kind of funny when a dog team leaves the start gate. You know, before they leave, they're yipping, they're jumping, they are just raring to go. They live for pulling the sled. Matter of fact, when mushers load them up in the truck and they start driving to a race, they know it's go time and they're super excited. But you're absolutely right. When the mushers leave and the dogs are running, they're quiet. It's kind of funny if you're at a road crossing where it's quiet and you don't hear much, and all of a sudden you hear dogs barking out in the woods. It could be a pack of coyotes, or if it's Copper Dog Weekend, it could be that a musher stopped the team to snack them, or to give them treats, or a little bit of a rest, or Maybe there was a tangle or something, you know, and so that's, if you hear dogs in a faint distance making that noise, that's usually what's going on.
Yeah, that's not normal to hear. Now, and it could be a natural thing, as you said, could be a musher just taking care of the animals, because these mushers, as I have met and talked with them over the years, they love these dogs.
Oh my gosh, yeah, they do. They do, and I'm amazed. You know, lately I always go back to my daughter because she, you know, helped us with getting the race the last couple of years, you know, for the short race, getting it going. And she was the judge. Well, now she's running dogs. And it amazes me because she worked up in Alaska last year with a kennel. And now she's at a different kennel with another 36 dogs. And she knows every name of every single one of those dogs and their different attributes that they bring to racing, you know, and where they should belong. So to see mushers working with their dogs is just something special to watch, the bond.
It has been interesting to watch the development of this race over the last 14 years. The first year we basically had a single stage race and a three stage
and
race.
Rain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. And yeah, it was like a 2.5 stage race. We had to end it early because we didn't have enough snow to get people back to Calumet.
Yep. Yeah, we ended in Mohawk behind the White House on that road back, the Seneca Road, I believe.
Yeah. And then, but over the years, this has kind of morphed a little bit, though. 150 miles kind of morphs a little bit. That's an approximation. When we say Copper Dog 150, we had a Copper Dog 35, then a Copper Dog 40, then a Copper Dog 80, then a Copper Dog 15. What do we have this year?
So this year we're doing the 150, which leaves out of Calumet and goes to all the communities that we normally go to, Eagle Harbor, then Copper Harbor, and then back to finish in Eagle Harbor again this year.
Can I make a special thank you to the folks in Eagle Harbor?
Oh, yeah.
They are just absolutely wonderful, hosting us on Friday night and then again Saturday morning and then again now for the finish on Sunday afternoon. They really give it.
Yeah, they do. They put in a lot of time. Actually, I was spending, I think it was our hot dog fundraiser for their Eagle Harbor community about a month ago, just right after Christmas.
Yeah.
And these ladies were talking about their committee of the potluck, you know, the food that they put out for the mushers, the volunteers, and the officials, and there's like a chair of it, and so this is a real deal up there. I mean, they take it very seriously, and God bless their souls, because they put on a great shindig up there.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place to get in, and the people that I talk to there every year are always so nice and so accommodating and so helpful. I just wanted to throw that in and say how much I have appreciated them and their efforts over the years. So the Copper Dog 150 again leaves Calumet. It goes to Eagle Harbor. Second day from Eagle Harbor to Copper Harbor. Sunday from Eagle Harbor back, or from Copper Harbor back to Eagle Harbor.
And
with the end in Eagle Harbor again this year?
Yes, in Eagle Harbor is the ending. But this year we're bringing back Brockway. So the mushers will be going over Brockway Mountain, which is going to give us some beautiful pictures by Brockett and Adam. So we're super excited about that as well.
The mushers are too, I would expect.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure how many of them, looking at the list, you know, I'd probably say half of them have probably done Brockway. And there's some of them that are in for an interesting awakening going up that first hill from Copper Harbor.
That's a pull going up those
hills.
That's
a run.
Yeah.
I mean, a musher is not going to stand on the back of the runners going up that corner and that steep hill there. They're going to be running up that hill more than likely with their team.
Yeah, they'll be off. And it's just as challenging coming down.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got to keep things under control.
Yep.
One of the things that I have learned from mushers over the years is you sometimes have to slow those dogs down because they'll run themselves out.
Yeah. What they do is you'll see them at any start. Musher will stand on this little black device. It looks like a part, and some of them use a snowmobile track, not with those thick paddles like they have nowadays, but those, you know, thinner ones that are about an inch long, and they stand on it. They call it a drag pad.
Yeah.
And you'll see snow flying up, you know, where their feet are, and that's because they're trying to maintain a speed. So they put down their drag pad and they ride it.
Now the Copper Dog 80, mm-hmm. which is nominally 80 miles, mm-hmm. still two stages, but different nights, different schedule.
So what we did was, unfortunately, we lost one of our housing developments, a hotel up in Copper Harbor, for Saturday night. So what we did was we were a little proactive and we decided, okay, so to make it where the mushers don't have to travel so far, what we're doing is we're doing the 80 out of Calumet. They go to Friday night, they go to Eagle Harbor, and then they race right away again without taking a day off. They race that next day. Which is fine to do. We always just try to keep them in town a little bit longer to, you know, spread the wealth and do some shopping and stuff like that. But without the housing up there, it makes it a little more difficult. So we decided to run them on Saturday from Eagle Harbor to Copper Harbor, and then we'll have their awards banquet afterwards.
So the Copper Dog 80 will end on Saturday in Copper Harbor this
Correct.
Year. And the Copper Dog 150, of course, uses 10 dog teams. Mm-hmm. The Copper Dog 80 uses
eight dog teams. Yep.
Now, we have two short races this year, and this is a first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what we're doing is we're taking that sprint race, what we call it, and expanding it a little bit. We've done it both ways over many years of time. It was a Copper Dog 25, you know, so we've done it different ways. This year, we're going to have the Copper Dog 30 is going to, and really it's like 32, 34 miles. They're going to leave Calumet last on Friday night, and they're going to finish in Eagle Harbor as well. So we're finishing all in the same area to kind of keep all of our officials together instead of spread out all
that
over the place.
That makes sense. In the past, we've had them finish sometimes in Eagle River. Or places like that, but they're going to go on to Eagle Harbor.
Yep.
So that one is on Friday night.
Yes.
But then we're doing a short out and back from Copper Harbor on Saturday.
Yeah, so more than likely our mushers from the 150 and the 80 that leave Eagle Harbor are going to finish anywhere between noon and 3. That's our best estimate. Depends on the snow, the temperature, and all that stuff. But,
track conditions.
Yep. So once those teams finish, then the 15 will go out, and they go out and back to Copper Harbor.
That was fun last year. Now, those are small teams.
Yeah, that's a six-dog team.
But, boy, they can, knowing it's a short race in and out and back, they go fast.
Yeah, what you'll see in these teams is a lot of people will be walking up and down the street looking at the dogs, and you'll see mainly what looks like huskies in most of these teams for the 150, the 80, and even the 30. When you start looking at the 15, now we're talking, it's a sprint. It's not a lope. You know, they're not taking their time doing 8 to 12 miles an hour. These dogs are probably going about 15.
Yep.
And they're running nonstop like that the whole amount of time. And usually what you'll see is there's crossbreeding between huskies and German short hair pointers. You'll see, or some houndy dogs, and that's for the long legs, the quickness, and the big paws.
Okay, because I had noticed a difference last mm-hmm. year in particular when we did this. It just the speed that those dogs put in on that out and back is just really incredible, and it's a lot of fun. Now, this is going to make for a really interesting day in Copper Harbor. We've always had Saturday activities in Copper Harbor along with the race, but this is going to make for a really interesting day in Copper Harbor because you're going to have a finish of one of the races and then a start and finish of another.
Yeah, so, you know, we were talking about Eagle Harbor earlier, how well their community is and how welcoming they are. Calumet's the same way. Copper. Well, so is Calumet.
Yeah, so Copper, is Calumet, but Copper Harbor certainly
Copper Harbor, they welcome us with open arms. They have a busy day up there with the teams finishing from the 150 and 80. And then you have the 15 going out. Copper Harbor Improvement Association also is bringing back the kids' sled dog rides.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so when the parents are watching, you know, the dog teams come in, then during the 15 race, we're going to have dog sled rides where the kids, you know, if they're getting a little antsy, they can go, you know, ride around a little course. And I would imagine Tom Bauer will have the Michigan Tech students doing it, or the club.
Yeah.
Or Tom himself might be doing it. But Copper Harbor also puts on, you know, there's coffee and hot chocolate and donuts and cookies.
They open up the community building for us. It's great in the middle of the winter. And if you've ever wanted an excuse to go to Copper Harbor in the middle of the winter, this will be a great day to do this. And again, we're talking about the first weekend in March, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, this year's Copper Dog 150, talking with Doug Haar, who is on the Copper Dog 150 board. It is a good reason to come up to Copper Harbor. It's great to visit Copper Harbor under any circumstances, but a lot of people don't get there in the winter, and this is your excuse now.
Yeah, no, it's a great time, and it should be a great family atmosphere, because there's going to be, you know, that dog sled rides going on at the same time. So it's going to be fun, not only for the parents, but also for the kids. And anyone that loves a dog, you know, loves going up to check out the race.
Yeah, and at least a couple of the restaurants and bars open up in Copper Harbor for this, so there'll be a place for you to eat and get something to drink if you wish. So
yeah, unfortunately this year it's only the Mariner that's open. Lake Effect closed this winter. They're going to reopen in the summertime, which has been, you know, a little bit of a challenge for us. But Peg and Don at the Mariner have stepped up to the plate. They've started doing breakfast. They've started doing or kept doing their lunch and dinner menu. So that's been great. The Gaslight General Stores, people know it, or the Jenny.
Yeah.
They're doing, you know, grab and go kind of stuff. So it's been, you know, Copper Harbor has really started thinking outside of the box how they're going to take care of the snowmobilers, and, you know, for us, for March 4th, how they're going to take care of the Copper Doggers.
Now, there's not only the Copper Dog titles at stake here. There's a larger title at stake here, which got a little screwed up when they had to shut down the race in Tequamanon a few weeks ago, unfortunately. But talk to me about this new crown that's been created.
It has been something that we have been wanting to do for years. But what we have found is not all races and organizations are like the Copper Dog. We're very, very much into it. You know, other races are as well, but I'm checking my email a couple times a day, where, you know, some races aren't like that. So we finally found two races that are a little more like us. Maybe we'll call it crazy love, you know, love the dog sled sport. And what they did was John Brown, who is the race director from the Tequamanon in Newberry, or north of Newberry, mentioned, hey, you know, what would you guys think about a triple crown? So between his board, the board at the UP 200, and our board, we agreed to have like a steering committee that would take care of that. We all threw $1,000 towards it this year. Eventually, we hope to find just a major sponsor for it, so we don't have to kick money in. Any person that runs all three of those races and completes it, it will end up with a big, beautiful patch. Kiko and Industrial Graphics did an amazing job working on this patch. I've always had the vision of a patch not being, you know, just that little guy that goes on your jacket. I wanted something like 8x11. I wanted a big patch. So we're calling it a finisher's patch. And if they finish all three races, they get that patch. I believe there's 12 that are available to, you know, run the Triple Crown and win the Triple Crown. Now, you mentioned Tequamanon. They had to cancel their race because of lack of snow. We did decide as the three organizations that we would allow it that anyone that was signed up for the Tequamanon race, you're still eligible. So if they were signed up and paid for the Tequamanon race, and they're running the UP 200 or Midnight Run, or they're running the Copper Dog 150 or the 80, they're eligible.
Yeah, and there's a point total. If you want to see how it works, go to copperdog150.com.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a convoluted point total, because the races mm-hmm. in each case are different lengths, different numbers of dogs on the teams,
yep.
and all of them had to be weighted and balanced and such. But there is a formula put together. Before we get to the end of this,
I want to talk about.
We're getting close here.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. I want to talk about volunteering.
Yes.
Because with four races, I'm assuming, first of all, maybe some more volunteers are needed.
Yeah.
And maybe some of the existing jobs that people have been doing have changed a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I would say, first off, if you're listening to this right now and you have insomnia, we want you. We have a road crossing. It's known as, I was just joking about it last night, saying that we need to make a patch or a shirt for this. It's called number 219. That's what it is on our board. And basically what that is it's a road crossing that has an intersection where all three races hit. And it could be multiple at the same time. It's going to be a very busy location at about between 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock in the morning. So that's where the insomnia part comes in. Could be as late as 2 in the morning. But what happens is the 30 crosses the road right away. The 80 and the 150 do this big loop down towards Lac La Belle and come back, and then they have to cross the road. Well, at speeds, you know, our latest team could come in at 2 o'clock in the morning. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so it really depends. But yes, volunteers, let me tell you what, folks. There is nothing more important to Copper Dog than three things that I always say: our volunteers, our sponsors, and our community. Those, to me and to Copper Dog, are our most vital pieces that make our race run. Volunteers, I mean, we're talking 500 shifts or more.
Yeah.
Of people that are needed. So Friday is a very, very big day of many road crossings. I guarantee you, if you do a road crossing, you're going to love it.
Yes.
It's very mellow. It's a lot of fun. Dress warm. Bring hot chocolate and coffee.
Oh, I see people setting up whole campouts and cookouts.
Oh, yeah.
At these things. Yeah. They put Volworths on the grill.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, have a time.
If you have a party at a road crossing, I could almost guarantee you're going to have a musher yelling to you to throw me a drink. Because the mushers love to interact with our people at road crossings. They appreciate them, because what the volunteers are doing and what we're known for is we're probably the race with the largest amount of road crossings, with the vast amount of volunteers that you'll ever see. And what happens is the when you're riding a sled behind 10 dogs, 8 dogs, 6 dogs, and you come up to a road crossing, you kind of get that pucker effect a little bit. You know, is there going to be people there? And then when you show up and there's 12 people there, it's one of the most amazing feelings that they have, knowing that they're protected by you,
yeah.
the volunteer.
Yeah, and it's so critical. There was a tragedy in the Marquette race
yep.
A few years ago where a vehicle hit a dog.
Yep.
And, you know, that's the kind of thing we work so terribly hard to avoid. And I'm not, you know, nobody's ever really blamed anyone. Sometimes things happen.
Yes, exactly.
But we want to make sure that those kinds of things don't happen. And I have talked to so many mushers over the years, and the first thing they talk about is the wonderful volunteers that we have here and how well they are trained mm-hmm. to do their job.
Yeah.
Legitimately helpful, valuable volunteers.
Yeah.
They really appreciate them.
And like you said, we train our volunteers. And this year we're going to have a video made of our volunteer training, because unfortunately we have to have it on a Friday night, which is not normal for us. So usually we have it on Saturdays, but with the musher that comes to help us do the training and me doing the training on the inside part, it kind of takes away a little bit, you know, with him being out to so many races. we have to do it on a Friday. But we're going to record it this year, put it on our website so people can actually see there too.
That'll be helpful too, because yes. we've only ever been able to do it once. And there are people who can't exactly. get there for whatever reason at that point.
Exactly.
So being able to access that online. I mean, I've been a volunteer with the Copper Dog since year one. Mm-hmm. I do it because I enjoy it mm-hmm. and because I get to work with great people. And it's a wonderfully supportive atmosphere. If you have never volunteered with Copper Dog before, I certainly commend you to it.
Yeah.
Go to copperdog150.com. There's a whole volunteer section on the website. You can see what jobs are available, what jobs need to be filled, what kind of commitment that goes along with those jobs. And you can sign up. And if you want to do a crossing, you know, get your church group, mm-hmm. get your school group, mm-hmm. get your family,
yes.
or whatever group that you're in, your social group, and come out and volunteer and sign up for that.
It's a great bonding time, you know. Absolutely. Great Lakes Mutual Insurance covers the US 41 crossing right outside of Calumet, and they've been doing it for years, and I know there's other people out there that are just like that.
Yeah.
And we just love it. It's so amazing to see the volunteers come out and help us out.
We've got to wrap this up real quickly, though. Our major sponsor again this year?
Incredible Bank.
Incredible Bank. Want to give them credit and thank them for being behind the race once again. And you can find out all you need to know about the Copper Dog 150 at copperdog150.com. Doug Haar, thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for supporting Copper Dog.
See you at the start.
We'll be there.